time for the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk on MSO New Sports, bringing you the latest in high school sports news from the Merrimack Valley in southern New Hampshire. The Sports Desk is produced by Kelly Media and brought to you by Moynihan Lumber and Cranny Self Storage in Danvers. And now your hosts, Dom DeCastro and Nick Kukuru.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dom DeCastro and Nick Kukuru back at it. What's going on, Nick?
Not much. What's happening?
Not much at all. Good news. We get the coach of Andover Little League coming up.
Yes.
Yep.
Can't wait to talk about that run.
That's going to be exciting. They had a great run all the way to the state Final Four. Fell just shy, but we'll hear all about it. Get some insights there. And all else is quiet in the valley, it looks like. We will have some moments to talk about at the end of the show. But yeah, we are excited to get back to our guests, because those are the folks that drive the show, never mind us. So I don't see any reason on this early August day to gab about anything, because nothing's going on.
That is correct.
All right, so let's take a break, and on the other side, talking to the Andover Williamsport Little League coach.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Professional builders choose Anderson Windows because they are the number one trusted and recommended window and door brand in the United States. Anderson Windows and Patio Doors offer beautiful natural wood interiors, low maintenance exteriors, and outstanding energy efficiency. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, Dom DeCastro and Nick Kukuru, back with our one and only guest today, going to be Andover Little League coach Sean Ilsley. What's going on, Sean?
Oh, not too much. Great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. And, you know, this is an all audio conversation, but you look very formal today with your Andover Little League baseball shirt on, and you got some paraphernalia, some trophies in the back there. Looks cool. Is that the official, you know, Sean Ilsley Little League office?
It's not a Little League office, but I did have to represent today, wearing my, Little League shirt and hat, same one I wore through every game. Throughout this tournament, a little superstitious there. So I kept the same shirt and hat. Yeah, behind me, I have the sectional championship banner that the team received and had all the kids sign it as well. So I have all their signatures on it. Something we'll put up at our Andover Little League facility so the kids can see that. And then, yes, our fourth place trophy is also shown there as well.
Nice. Absolutely. Yeah, Sean, I mean, that Section 4 championship had to be the big highlight. Take a seat. You guys were the Reading killers, right? It seemed like Reading had the way with everybody, but you guys beat them three times.
Yes, yeah. We knew going into it, you know, the sectional round is, you know, very competitive. We've always had the rivalry with Reading. Great team, great coaching staff. I mean, they're a very talented, disciplined team, and we knew they were going to be tough. And the way the schedule matched up, we didn't play them until the third game. So we, you know, tried to do some matchups, but really couldn't do too much. We just had to get, you know, our goal is to get to the championship game, whatever it takes. And so, yeah, we ended up, you know, facing them twice in the sectional round. We faced them the third game, and then we faced them in the championship after that. It was an interesting strategy that took place around that. I don't know if anyone caught how the pitching matchups work for those games.
Please, yeah. I'd love to hear about it.
Yeah. So when you start off the tournament, it's basically you get to the championship on Sunday, you're playing four games in a row. You have some pitching strategies that your first game, if you can keep a starting pitcher under 50 pitches, he's then available for Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's a certain strategy. But if you pull him out too early and you lose the game, you don't get to Sunday. So it actually happened that our two starting pitchers on that first game, Redding, was able to pull their pitcher at 50 pitches because they were up by so many runs. So they had him ready for Sunday. Our first game, we ended up losing, but we did pull our pitcher at 50 pitches. It was a tough decision at that game, but we pulled him at 50 pitches. And then when we got to the Saturday game, we actually had a rainout too. And so that gave us an extra day. But what happened was that final game against Reading came down to runs against. So Reading could not lose by more than 9 runs or they were out. We had to win to advance. And so what happened was we ended up scoring 7 runs in the first inning.
Wow.
And that forced Reading to put their number one pitcher in the game. And that made him unavailable for the championship game. Wow. Because of that, scoring the runs, they couldn't give up 9. They wouldn't make it. So it was interesting. It was an interesting strategy. We talked, you know, the coaches, you know, talked to each other and, you know, we knew what was happening. So, you know, that certainly helped us go into the championship game because we did well in that first game.
Yeah.
That's always the most fascinating part to me about the sectionals. And the toughest part is you always have to look forward, even if you're in the middle of a game that could still go either way and is hanging in the balance. It's like, I mean, it's an impossible balance to strike, but you have to do it.
Absolutely. I mean, we had our loss in the first game against Danvers went into extra innings. So right there,
man,
we're using more pitchers.
All you're thinking of is the pitch count at that point. Here it comes, more pitches. Pitch count.
Absolutely, is a huge disadvantage, right? Because the runs allowed only counts through 6 innings, no matter how many you go.
Correct. Yes, wow. It's no matter how many you go, and that was what was great for us. I mean, even all along through our district round, we played 5 games in the district round, and we gave up 4 runs across the 5 games.
Wow!
Right. So our pitching was doing just, you know, phenomenal, and so when we get to sectionals, it was the same thing. You know, even though we went into extra innings, we only gave up 4 runs. The next game, we only gave up 2 runs. So we were at only giving up 6 runs where the other teams were a lot more. So that helped us out going into that one game. But it's all about pitching and matchups and pitch counts and that strategy.
Math. You have to be doing math on the fly.
Yes. Right?
Yeah. Like, it's just amazing the effect that literally rules have on the outcomes of games. I mean, sometimes I feel like, can you give these guys a break and have a tournament over 8 days or something instead of 4? 4 in a row?
Right. It is an interesting concept. And in some ways it's good because if you have a team that just has one pitcher, you know, you don't want him just pitching every game. So it does force a team to have some depth. And we liked that going into it. You know, I certainly did because I felt our team had the depth, right? We had the pitching. We weren't relying on just one player. We had the depth of the pitching and we had the lineup. So, you know, I was okay with that. I mean, it just had to manage through it, you know, just had to manage those pitch counts and stuff. But
yeah. Yeah. I've been involved in I live in Southern New Hampshire now, but I was, I lived in Swampscott for 13 years. And this isn't the regular. I know they were in the tournament too.
Yes. But
we just had a when I was in Little League in 2017, this is the regular season now, the city championship. And we had a Wednesday semifinal and then a Saturday final. So you strategize, all right, 50 pitches, take them out. The semifinal game, my pitcher was allowed like 1 hit, 1 run through 50 pitches. It was so hard to take him out, but I had to. They did the same thing. The other team had a perfect game going, and he took him out.
Oh.
It's crazy, right?
Yes.
We ended up winning the game because we got to the number 2 kid.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's like you roll the dice.
Absolutely. And that's a tough decision. you know, and we've seen it happen in the past that you pull your pitcher to try and save him for the championship and you don't get there. Yeah. You know, mine was the opposite. It was get there, you know, yeah. We'll figure it out when we.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I had a chip in my shoulder that game. Cause I was the field manager for the Swampscott Little League fields.
Yep.
And the coach we were playing against in the semifinals emailed me and said, "Hey, can you reserve a practice field for us on Friday?" That was 2 days after we played.
He was booking
the win against us. I think he forgot. I think he forgot that I was the manager of the other team. I'm like, I'll remember that one.
Yeah, be careful with that, right?
Yeah.
Well, Sean, at least Little League was, you know, nice enough to take one thing off your plate with the continuous lineups. I know that was a new wrinkle. I go back and forth on it. I think it has pros and cons, but it makes your life a little easier, right?
It does. Yeah, we've gone back and forth with that rule. It in the past, it did change depending on how many players you had on your team. So if you had 13, like last year, if you had 13 players, everyone had to bat at least once, but you still had to do a substitution. And then if you had 12 players, you had the whole requirement to play in the field, six continuous outs in the field. But you're right, this year was the first year they made a change that said no matter how many players are on your team, everyone bats in the lineup, like all the way through. No substitutions in the batting order. But then in the field, you can substitute as much as you want.
Yeah, or as little as you want. Or as little as you want.
So you can leave as little as you want.
You can leave nine on the field and the other three or four never see the field. They get at the plate, though.
And they get at the plate. Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Yep. That's something. I mean, it does make it easier. It absolutely makes it easier. As far as just making sure you don't mess up on the rule, right? I mean, you don't want to forfeit or, you know, anything like that. So that helps. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we were talking to Bill Burt, Eagle Tribune sports editor, last week about you guys. He had some glowing things to say. Particularly, I think he called one of your players, and I'm sorry his name escapes me, but he called them. He said he will be the best player on the field if this team makes it to the New England Regionals. Who do you think he was talking about?
Jedward Sanchez.
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he had a lot of glowing things to say about it. It sounds like you guys, you know, when he got up at the plate, it was like, man, if he gets a hold of one, watch it fly.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's exciting, like exciting to watch. I mean, a big bat. You know, he was a great pitcher too for us. But yeah, absolutely exciting to watch. I mean, there was a few games, you know, a few intentional walks, which was expected, you know, that's going to happen. And yeah, he was just exciting to hit. I mean, but, just a great, great player. But you know, what was good is it wasn't, you know, we didn't have to solely rely on him, you know, 100%. We had a really good team around him. You know, the amount of runs we scored, you know, each game, you know, was up there. But yeah, he's exciting to watch.
Yeah. Why don't you walk around the lineup a little bit too? Mention some other kids. I know, I think you had someone that lives in the same house as you on the team as well. Is that usually the case?
No.
No? Oh, you, no. You didn't have a son? I'm just guessing.
Oh, someone that lives, yeah. Not someone else. Yes, my son.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, Jesus, his son not living with him? Or his son has his own apartment? Somehow. He has his own apartment.
Right. Yeah, and that's always fun, being able to coach your son. You know, he was played second base throughout the whole tournament. You know, great fielder, just great attitude, just into baseball like you wouldn't imagine. You know, that's always good. Never dragging him to the field. He did really well throughout the tournament. So I was proud of him. And like you said, I mean, we had just such a great team. You know, we had 13 players. And, you know, when we look across our regular season in Andover, we had 8 Little League teams that compete against each other, all at a high level, all 11, 12 year olds. So it's very competitive. Just in our in-town league, and these players that, you know, were able to come together, I mean, they were all the top players on their team. You know, everybody was batting, you know, in the top 4 spots on their team. You know, so putting this team together was just, you know, incredible talent that we had. So it was hard to kind of put the lineup together when you had such great talent. You know, it was almost exciting, right? Because you knew when you get lower in the order, these kids are hitting. You know, so we just a lot of contact hitters. There was a few that, you know, were definitely going to hit the ball out of the park. You know, we had Shea Kilgallen and PJ Kavko were both big hitters. Each had a couple home runs. Andrew Irvin hit the fence a couple of times.
Awesome.
You know, a lot of them, Logan Sullivan, Deacon Wood, they just hit the ball hard, you know, throughout the game. And that's what was exciting. Like that helped our lineup. I mean, we were averaging, I think, about almost 10 runs a game all the way until we got to the state tournament. So these kids just hit, they get on base and they hit. So yeah, it was exciting. And then, you know, pitching wise too, we, you know, Jedward pitched quite a bit for us. And he did really well. He had three no hitters through, you know, all the way getting to states. And then Jake Shea, you know, who's our lefty pitcher, is just lights out. I mean, he just throws strikes. He pitched a complete game against Squam Scott, all six innings. Wow. And I think he only threw 60 pitches. They're allowed to throw 85.
Yeah.
And he pitched a complete game, six innings, and pitched 60 pitches.
10
it was unreal. I mean, he just threw strikes. And we've always said, too, and, you know, I tell my pitchers, you have to throw strikes because let him hit it. Because we have a talented, you know, infield, outfield, just let him hit it. You know, and that's what Jake does. I mean, he throws it well. They can't hit him well because he's a good pitcher. But we just make the plays. And so that was exciting. And then, you know, even after that, you know, with Brody Evans, Jack Stevens, Noah Caruso, all were pitchers that were all ready to go. They, you know, each pitched a few games, came in to close a few innings here and there. You know, so we had a pretty deep pitching staff and lineup, which was exciting.
Absolutely. How about defensively, Sean? I mean, I'm sure you mentioned the Town League. I'm sure you picked up a bunch of catches and shortstops from the Town League. Now you got to fill a whole diamond with those kids.
That's yes. And on the surface, it may seem like, oh, shoot, this is going to be challenging, right? We have six, seven shortstops. We can only play one. But, you know, what it turned into was these kids are athletes, right? And that's what we have. That's what we had on this team. So these kids could play anywhere, you know. So we had shortstops that could play right field, you know, shortstops that could play center field. A shortstop was a catcher. He was one of our catchers as well. You know, these kids could really play any position. And that helped, right? Because they're athletes. They could adapt to it. I mean, we worked on it in practice when we did kind of figure out where the kids were going to play. You know, we'd work on it at practice, you know, going through drills at those positions. But our fielding was great. I mean, I even looked throughout the games, and you always try and think, you know, when you lose, right, were there errors, a lot of errors, things like that. And we didn't have that. That was not the case. You know, when we talk about like our losses in the state finals, it was not because we made a bunch of errors, right? And so, you know, I was really proud of the team defensively. You know, but some kids had to play some positions they weren't, you know, super comfortable with, but they did well at it. You know, and I've always encouraged that across Little League, you know, play different positions, right? It can't hurt, right? You can only get better. You know, so it did end up working out well, you know, defensively across the board.
Yeah, that was my philosophy too. When, you know, the regular season didn't count and Swamp Scott, everyone made the playoffs. So I'm like, let's rotate them all.
Yeah.
Everyone gets, he played, well, don't put him at first. He might get hurt. No, he has to learn how to play all the positions,
yes.
You know. Like, we'll just tell the kids to throw easy to that one, you know, if you get a ground ball.
Right.
But Little League is so fun. You have such precious memories here, Sean. And, you know, we congratulate you on a tremendous multi-year run with this fascinating group of kids. And, you know, we're looking forward to what they can do on the big diamond. It's very humbling when you get to that big diamond and you stand on third base and you look at first, you're like, I think I need a cutoff, man.
Right.
Throwing at first. But,
yeah.
You know, best of luck to Andover Little League in the future. And congrats to you, your son, and the team.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. And I, you know, I do want to just, you know, mention to, you know, the success of this, you know, certainly comes from like the whole Little League organization across Andover. You know, I had two really good coaches on the team, Chris Szymanski and Noah Caruso. You know, they did just, it's a great, like team effort. You know, we've coached together for a while, and it worked out well. All their support along the way was great. But also just, you know, Andover Little League, we have Ryan Murphy as our president. And just, you know, he supported this team, supports the coaches, does so much for everybody. And that really, you know, contributes to the success, you know, yeah, across the board that we had. I mean, the fields that we have in Andover are just unreal. Our Little League fields, like everyone that comes there just can't believe, you know, how great these fields are. And that is really a tribute to all the coaches across Little League, and to our board. You know, we have a great board that does a lot. They put a lot of time in, a lot of effort. Yeah. And that, you know, just shows, and that really contributes to the success of all of this. So
yeah,
I just wanted to mention, you know, those guys and how much they do, you know, across the board. So
it's a great point, because that, it's amazing that all the Little League board members and coaches still have jobs at the end of the season, right? Yeah. I mean, you're more buried in your Little League texts and emails than you are work at times. Johnny absolutely can't make it to practice. Can he, you know, all that stuff. And you got to deal with answer the moms, answer the dads. And but it sounds like a great community there and a great team effort for Andover Little League across the board. Sean, Ilsley, thanks for joining us, and congrats on the sectional title and a Final Four appearance for Andover Little League.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
All right. Have a good one.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right. Awesome stuff there. Up next, as promised, ending the show with our Merrimack Valley Sports Report, Nick and Dom's top moments of the week in the Valley.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning on remodeling your kitchen or just thinking about it, may I suggest that you visit our kitchen cabinet showroom in downtown Beverly. There you will find some 25 kitchens on display, just as they might look in your own home. And you can also talk with our kitchen cabinet sales team, who really do know what they are talking about. That's at Moynihan Lumber, 82 River Street in downtown Beverly.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Hello, this is Brian Cranny from Cranny Self Storage. If you find yourself in the middle of a move, downsizing, decluttering, getting your garage space back, Cranny Self Storage is here to help. We have climate-controlled and secure storage units of all sizes to fit your budget. Whether it's temporary or permanent, Cranny Self Storage can help you with all your storage needs. We also have moving supplies and boxes. Cranny Self Storage is conveniently located in Danvers, right off of 128 on Water Street, next to Sam and Joe's. Let us help you keep your belongings safe and secure. Call Cranny Self Storage today at 978-777-9193.
Merrimack Valley Sports Desk, I'm the Cashmere Cuckoo, back at it for one more segment. And that is Nick and Dom's top moments of the week in the Valley. What's happening in the Valley that we noticed and that the Eagle Tribune covered?
Exactly.
It's got to be in the low sun of the trip to make it official. No, but we have eyes on the Valley, but it's nice to have the journalist's eyes from the Trib and the low sun out there. They always help us. Chris Hurley, Jamie Pope, Bill Bird, Hector Longo. Yeah. So those are our pals.
Yep.
And we're telling a story. My top moment, I'm going to start with Methuen. So Methuen's Owen O'Brien, is doing some good things on the rink, on the hockey circles. Hockey Night in Boston, I used to write for them. Pretty good factory there. They showcase the best athletes in Massachusetts, New Hampshire, pretty much all of New England. And Owen O'Brien took advantage of that. He's an Eagle Tribune All-Star, and he went out for the 49th annual Hockey Night in Boston tournament. He had a strong showing last year, and then he returned for this year and looked great. He first 23 minutes of a 6-4 win for his team, turned away all 8 shots he faced. What else can you ask for from a goalie?
Can't ask for anything else.
Yeah. All right, what do you got, Nick?
I'm going to stick with the theme. I mean, keep it rolling, you know, Andover Little League, give them the one last pat on the back. They finished fourth in the state, had a tough go of it this past weekend, but still, you know, an unbelievable run. Ran into a tough Rutland team, the eventual champ Canton. I want to say Barnstable was the other squad there. But, you know, Section 4 champs, District 13 champs is nothing to sneeze at.
No, good to see Andover kind of back on the map there. It's been the other regions have really emerged, like the North Shore, and have come out of that section lately. And yeah, we'll see how Canton does in that final four, representing this area. Well, Canton was that was a state final. Canton won the state tournament. Sorry. Yeah, Canton won the whole thing. We'll see how they do in the New England's, is what I meant to say. Good. All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We're at Rec Valley Sports Desk. We're on MSRNewsSports.com every week. Talk to you next week.